presented by the Esports Research Network and the Media Management and Transformation Center in Jönköping, Sweden.
Okay, welcome to the Esports Research Report. I'm Brian McCauley here in Sweden, where I work for the Media Management and Transformation Center in Jönköping, the city of DreamHack.
Hello, I'm Stephanie Orm from Emmanuel College in Boston in the United States. Joining us on today's episode is Yoon Pung, a newly minted PhD from the University of Glasgow. Yoon, welcome to our show. Can you tell us a little bit more about yourself and what you're currently up to?
Hi everyone, I'm Yoon Pung. I'm graduated from the University of Glasgow and I was doing my PhD program for the last 4 years, which is focused on the females' participation, women's participation in esports. And I am currently preparing my postdoctoral job at enter university in China, which is called the University of Electronic Science and Technology of China.
Fantastic. Congratulations. Yeah, that's fantastic news. Well done. Now, Yen, our first question is always, what is your definition of esports? How would you explain it to somebody if they said, what's esports?
Well, I have drawn a very fundamental definition of esports in my CC, and I define it like competitive computer games with clear definition of win and lose. But I have to say that is a very fundamental definition, because as we may see today, esports is developing very fast and the definition should go far beyond this definition. But the reason I draw this definition in my CC is because I think this is a very good and safe and comprehensive start point for the research.
Good. I like that. Yeah. And I think you're right. And we'll get into today how that concept of esports is evolving, as you said, right? So you mentioned that your doctoral work was on women in the competitive video game scene. I know we would love to hear more about that. So can you tell us what your doctoral work was on specifically? What sort of things did you find?
Well, that's a huge project. So yeah, I start to focus on this area because I want to know why females are here and why they are not here. So I start to explore their preferences, their motivations, and the difficulties that they meet, and the strategies that are adopted to enter this field. And I not only focus on the general players like us, and I also focus on the professional side. Females' participation, women's participation in the professional esports scene. And I combine these phenomena together and I try to find out the link of this phenomenon with the culture, with the esports culture. So I would like to explain this participation, this phenomenon from a cultural perspective. That's basically what I did for the past 4 years.
But can I ask, how did you do this? I mean, what was your approach, your methodology? Did you do online surveys? Did you do ethnography? Did you do qualitative research? Did you just go onto websites? What were the ways you achieved this, that you approached this research to answer these questions?
Well, I think that's a very good question, because when I was carrying out my field work, I was initially just planning to do a questionnaire, and that's quite effective, I think. But I feel like questionnaire is far from enough to answer these questions. So I did questionnaire, I did focus group interviews, and I did in-depth interviews with the industry professionals. So all these people can give me different kind of useful knowledge to support me to explain my research question. So basically, I have published one interview and with around 260 responses, and I interviewed, I carried out 6 focus group interview with esports players, and I interviewed 2 women professional players, and these people who work in the esports industry. That's quite a lot of the data.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. So which was your favorite part of the data? Which was which was the place where you went, oh wow, that's interesting. Which one of them really hit you?
Well, I think that must be the focus group interviews. Mm. Well, I have to say that's an amazing method, because when I get all these people together, ask them to talk, and it will give me a lot of information that I are interested. I will take a very simple case when I ask them to speak some very excited experiences when they are playing. One of my female interviewees says she feels extremely immersed in the PUBG Mobile, but the thing is she don't know how to play. And I ask why you feel so immersed, and she says, because I'm fighting with real people, and this environment and this play style makes me feel so excited. So, and why I say this example is because this example has challenged the idea that the game mastery, the game skill, is a key point for female, I mean, as a difficulty to play these games. But actually, it might not be that influential, because when females got the opportunities to play these games, they find their own way to enjoy it. And maybe the skill mastery might be a problem in the later stage, but at the early stage, at the very beginning, that might not be that influential. So I think the focus group interview is quite interesting.
Yun, some of the stuff I'm hearing is really awesome, because it resonates with a lot of my own research in this area. So I also research a lot with gender and esports and gaming. And I've also found things about, you know, women talking about not knowing how to play certain games or finding them really difficult, and then feeling like they don't belong in esports. So did you find that at all? Or did you find that these women say, even if I don't know how to play, I still really love it, right? And I still want to be a part of it. Was that something you were hearing?
Well, I have to say the in-game skill mastery is really difficult for females, for women to play. But I don't think that is because they are not able to play. From my interview, I feel like they are practicing, they are improving their skills. But the key thing is that the stereotypes, the culture, the role of gender in esports is telling them that you are not capable to play. And sometimes they may choose some roles that are not that important. And this is particularly obvious in professional esports play. Like you say, for the top level of esports tournaments, there's no women. So I interviewed with these people for the general players and for the professional players. What they reported to me is that they feel like the atmosphere is not supporting them, is not encouraging them to play the core roles. So even they have a certain skill mastery, but in the actual play, they may choose to play something that are not that important. But what I want to say is from the male interviewees, I feel like they are quite friendly. Because this is my women teammates are quite capable to play. Sometimes they lead me to the win. Yeah, this phenomenon exists. But in general, I have to say the atmosphere, the stereotypes are still suggesting me and influencing females, influencing women to identify their skill mastery at a very low level. But actually, I think they can do better.
I've done some work on gender as well, and I have got some early research data in esports on gender participation. And I have to say that it really does shock me, some of these barriers I come across. And, you know, as a white male, I have certain advantages, obviously. And it really makes me sad, because there's a lot of research that there's no reason for women to be not equally represented in the top tier of esports. So what are some of the barriers that you identified? What were some of the main barriers to play? What are the things stopping women being able to participate equally in esports?
Well, I think that's the core things, as we mentioned just now, is the skill mastery And I think, like you say, the representation, misrepresentation of female players. And what I think I would like to talk here, the most important thing is the demographic features of these players. Because this idea has been widely ignored by current game study. And I have explored the Chinese background, Chinese history to explain Chinese women's participation in esports. I found that historic influence are very notable. The Chinese women has failed to get engaged with esports in the early stage of esports development, which is around the early 1990s. It's because of the Chinese policy, and because when the esports start to development, the major way for this player to get engaged with esports is through this public space like the internet cafe. But this place has been marked as very masculine space. So women fail to get engaged with esports at this stage. So when the males establish their dominance, maybe this word is too aggressive, but when the men manage to establish their dominance in this area, it become harder for the women to get into this area. So the difficulty, when we talk about the difficulty of their participation, I think it's quite complicated phenomenon, and I would like to say the historic and demographic background is one of the core reasons.
Yeah, no, I did a paper on esports in Vietnam, and we explored the cyber cafes there. And my co-author, Truk, who's now doing her PhD at the University of Kent, I kind of went with her because, you know, we were actually told by a few people that it is quite an intimidating atmosphere. And Truk is a wonderfully confident young woman, and, you know, she's brilliant. But as people sort of said, look, it's a very, very, you know, people are smoking, a lot of bad language in depending on the cafe. So I've seen that it can be quite an intimidating factor in certain cultures because it's so male dominated. Do you see this changing at all in China? Are you observing a shift in these mentalities and these environments right now?
If we talk about the internet cafe, yeah, it's more acceptable for women to play now. But I think that the change for this public space is not the key point. I think the key point for today to attract women to play esports is the development of mobile esports. I think the mobile devices, it provides them the opportunities to play esports in a very private space, and it's a lot of benefit. So as we can see, the game King of Glory that has published by the Tencent Gaming, it has attracted more than 50% of women to play at this moment. So actually it is the development of mobile devices and mobile esports that manage to attract females. But I have to say, their participation should not be understood just staying at the mobile terminal. Their participation may transfer to computer esports as also. But for this process, I think it's not true now, but I anticipate it happen in the future. So the key point is mobile devices, mobile gaming, I think.
I was going to ask about mobile devices. Yeah, because again, in my own work, I found, you know, that's something that here in the US, right, women play a lot of. And I think it's things you were touching on, Yoon. You know, again, a lot of gaming cafes and gaming spaces do feel very male oriented and don't always feel like welcoming spaces, right? And whereas mobile phones are something that almost everyone has, right? And and it's something that can easily be played while they're taking care of their kids or things like that, right? That can sometimes be a barrier to, I think, women playing. So I was, when earlier when you were saying that you see esports evolving as a concept, I suspect you think that might grow to include competitive mobile gaming as well, right?
Yes. I think the competitive mobile gaming should be a very notable area for esports research. And I think particular for this research related to gender issues, because as we can see now, women are majorly concentrated on this platform, and they become one of the most notable group of esports. I think yes, I personally play mobile esports. That's quite attractive, easier. I mean, easier not because of the skill mastery, because it's more suitable for my lifestyle. So yeah, mm-hmm. I think that will be the next section that scholars should pay attention to.
I was in China a couple of years ago, and I've lived in a couple of countries in that part of the world. And what struck me in China was I went to visit my brother, and I took money out of an ATM, and he looked at me like, what are you doing? You don't use cash. And he just showed me his phone and said, everything is here. And there's everything, and the Chinese culture around smartphones seems to be very advanced compared to most cultures. Do you think that that China could potentially dominate mobile esports because they're the phone is an extension of themselves more than other cultures have come across at this point in time?
Well, I think the popularity of mobile esports is not only appearing in China, but it's also appearing in a lot of Asia countries, because the lifestyle of the young generation is so fast, and they don't have such a long period of time to play the game for everyday life. So the mobile should be a very, very nice alternative choice for them. And they can play it when they are waiting for a seat in the restaurant, and they can play it during their on the subway to work. So I think it's popular here, not only in China, in other Asia countries, that the young generation has the same streets, same lifestyle. So, but what you are saying is definitely correct. The young generation is attaching to the mobile device seriously. Everything about their life is about phones. About smartphones, yes, we pay by smartphones. We chat on smartphones, and I don't need anything when I need to go out. I just need my phone and my key. That's what I need. Yes.
And some people don't even need a key. Their phone is their key now. So you're So do you see many Chinese professional players rising up now? Currently, is there a lot of female professional players coming through in China?
Well, I have to say it is a pity that I didn't see much of them. I tried my best to contact them, but one of the problems is there is not that much of women who is participating in the professional esports play in China. And we can see some female tournaments, I mean, on the mobile esports. For now, they are organizing these events in China, but it's not influential. I mean, there's little audiences, and it's more like a show rather than a tournament. So I have to say the development of women's participation in professional esports is quite limited, and I don't feel happy with that. I hope it can be improved. But for now, I have to say it's a pity to see this.
Yun, do you think that having all female tournaments in esports is a good thing, or do you think we should try to combine men and women's tournaments together? Would that help, do you think, more women go into the professional scene?
Well, that's the question I'm asking myself, because when I was writing my thesis, I encountered this question. But I feel maybe at this stage, it's better to have some female tournaments, because as we can see at the highest level of professional esports play, for now, I have to say that there's not enough women that are capable to compete with this top level of esports players. That's a problem we have to face in. Maybe we will have very brilliant women players in the future, but for now we have to face this problem. So I have referred to the traditional sports So I think maybe organize some male and female events. That might be a fast way to encourage women to join this field. But for if I start from the perspective of the long development of professional esports play, I feel like if we divide them into two groups, two alternate groups, that might not be the solution. But for now, I think organizing female tournaments might be a good way to encourage them.
Nice job on the hardest question in esports there, Steph. I've heard so many versions of answers to that one. It's a really difficult question. Sorry about it again.
I get asked that all the time, so I had to know.
That's so a complicated phenomenon. So, yeah.
No, I mean, like, it is a hard question. I think that brings us into our last final question, and which is, what are your future research recommendations? What would you encourage other PhD students, other scholars? What needs to be explored to extend your work and to solve maybe some of these problems in gender and esports? What would you like others to do? What would you recommend?
Oh, well, I should say there's lots of things we need to do. But basically, I have to say this interdisciplinary research. I think maybe the esports laws and the standardization of professional esports play, I think that's quite a problem. And for myself, my further research interest, I would like to focus on the distribution of esports content on multi-platforms. Because as we see for now, the distribution of esports is basically through online streaming. I think we can do more. So yeah, that's what I'm interested in. And the other direction I'm interested in is the esports media. I have noticed that there has been few esports media in China, and they have do very well content. So I think that might be another direction that can combine the traditional media study with the esports, and we can create some new things to offer, maybe in the future to offer to students. But for now, I think that's a very interesting research direction for scholars.
Awesome. Well, Yin, thank you so much for joining us today. We're going to go ahead and drop your social media info below this video. So if anybody wants to get in contact with you and ask more questions, follow up with you on your research, they'll be able to do that. But thank you again so much for joining us and sharing your insights on this topic today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And well done on finishing the PhD as well. Nice.
All right. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. I'm just gonna